We are back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking with our guests here from Raleigh County Police Department, Josh Kyle. He's a captain there on the police department. And we were just kind of updating our calendars here a little bit, and the Ogden event's actually happening tomorrow.
That's correct. The Ogden Fall Fest is tomorrow. I'd be negligent if I didn't mention that. We'll be there with our food trailer. I think we're handing out some frozen treats. It's from noon until about 6 at night, and then I think from then there's a band that starts about 6 at night and goes till about 10 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. So I want to make certain we mention that.
All right. Speaking of Ogden, we have a guest on the phone who hails from over there. Paul, go ahead.
Good morning. Captain, can you add to or deny the grapevine rumors of the Manhattan rumor mill, that there's a possibility that the director is being looked at as a future candidate for the president of Kansas State University?
So I have no information about that. I haven't heard anything about that at all, and it's the first time I've ever heard anything towards that.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And we'll move on here to our main topic we were going to discuss here today, and that is, I've been seeing some more information circulating online about this, and we know it's been a problem for a while, and that has to do with fentanyl. And about 2 years ago, there was several arrests made here in town. It's been circulating in the community for a while, but it is, I think, maybe becoming more known here in the community that it is a problem, and I want to just kind of see if you guys could share some details on that.
Sure, and I appreciate you asking those questions. I know it's a concern in this community, as it should be, and I wanted to be in a position where I did not give information out that was not correct or so vague it didn't really help anybody, and so I asked a detective with our department who works with drugs and other similar problems in our community to come and talk to us, and so I was hoping that he would be able to provide a little bit more detail that people might find more useful than what I could provide. So without any further ado, I'm not going to give any names for obvious reasons, but I'd like to have our detective from RCPD give some thoughts.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, yeah, in the last probably year and a half, we've seen an uptick in overdoses, but not in the sense of what it was in the past with heroin mixed with fentanyl. Now these are kind of counterfeit prescription pills that are pressed south of our border, I guess you can say, in a clandestine type environment. And they're mixed with fentanyl, but the mixture is never perfect. So it's kind of playing Russian roulette if you buy one of these off the street and take it, and whether or not you're going to overdose.
Goodness, that's a scary proposition, and we know that there are people out there that get these on the black market wherever they're getting it from, but they, if you're hearing this and for the first time and you have a family member that's struggling, this is probably a good wake-up call. Be careful.
It's dangerous because, most people, they don't know what they're looking for as far as what a counterfeit pill looks like, and they have that thought that, well, it's a medicinal pill, the doctors prescribe it, it must be safe, but they really don't know what they're getting. So they're running that risk of using this, and then unfortunately some have overdosed and some have survived, some have not. So
is there anywhere that people can go online to look at resources like coloration, or is anything descriptive there?
The DEA has a good an article that they recently released within this last year that shows what a real most common one that we see is an oxycodone hydrochloride 30 milligrams. It's a small blue pill. It has a box with an M on it, and on the other side it's got a 30 imprint on it. They have a really good side-by-side comparison on what to look for and whatnot, and I can't direct you to the exact website, but if you Google the DEA counterfeit pill oxycodone, it can direct you to the right location.
All right. This is a tough subject for me to really know a whole lot about, because I've obviously never been a drug user or anything like that. But I know that this is a problem in a lot of communities. If somebody does come across these pills or and overdoses, and is there anything that any resources here in the community they can take advantage of here if they have an adverse reaction or something?
Well, unfortunately, if you have an adverse reaction on one of these and it's significant enough, you're going to go into respiratory arrest, and there's not much you're going to be able to do for yourself. However, if you are going to use these, which is, of course, not suggested at all, but someone should probably be with you. I know if you're an addict and you have the resources to contact your doctor or whatever, they can prescribe Narcan to you, and then hopefully you can seek the treatment you need, but have that just for adverse reactions, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, this is pretty dangerous stuff, and again, the thing here is, you know, don't use these, but we know that there are some people who have addictions, and it's really difficult for them to come off those. If you're a family member and you notice somebody who may be having symptoms or something, that might be that you need to call police probably right away. 911 is probably the first step.
Of course, yes. 911 is going to be your first phone call. And the best thing is to just be honest as you can with dispatch, because that's going to provide the information that medical personnel, police are going to need to know prior to arriving on scene on the possibilities that's an overdose. It can direct medical personnel to look at that more closely and diagnose it quicker.
Now, Captain Kyle, some people have fears of calling 911 if they're in a situation like that because they are going to be feared that they're going to be arrested. What would you tell them?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. In fact, the detective and I had an interesting conversation, and one of the things I asked him, I said, to your knowledge, have we ever prosecuted or filed charges on somebody who went through an overdose? And the answer is no. In fact, I think he had a really interesting answer to that question.
Yeah. So during an overdose, we're not investigating the individual that overdoses. We're trying to locate the supplier and the distributor. It's actually a crime to distribute a controlled substance that causes great bodily harm or death, and they're very significant crimes or person felonies. And so we take them very seriously, and we'll investigate them to the full extent. And so our main focus on that is trying to gain cooperation with parties on scene to try to identify who the distributor is, so that way we can prevent future overdoses from occurring by taking that distributor off the streets.
That is good knowledge to have here. Hopefully people will take that to heart. We have a listener with a question or a comment, so we'll get to the phone line next. Go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for extending your information out to protect the public on these items of the fentanyl and all. I wish there was some way we could return that support to the Police Benevolent Association or through the Kansas State Support Your Police tag that they don't have, or like we used to have in Wichita, the Police Benevolent Association medallion that you put on one of the screws of the tag to show support. Some of the municipalities have the off-duty officers as armed security, private security at events that could also add to the income that way. One of the things you need to look out for is this problem we're having with the medical on the support through the hospitals and the billing and all that that's going to come up with your health insurance. Something to look out for that we can, as taxpayers, help support through the police department. And I hope that you get to have an expanded presence over at the courthouse square when they're putting in the new courtrooms, that you have a share of the building also. Thank you so much for all you do. As a taxpayer, we're willing to support you in those events.
Well, I really appreciate that sentiment. I really do. I feel this community is a wonderful place to work. I feel very supported. I personally, even though I'm not required to, I wear my uniform every day. I grew up in uniform. I'm proud to wear a uniform. And I tell you, just about every time I'm out in public, somebody comes up to me and thanks me for my service, which is embarrassing because I'm an administrator. I take it, though, that they're thanking the police department for its service, especially the men and women who serve every day in dispatch, in patrol in the jail, and then, of course, in our other services that we provide administratively to the public. And so I feel very fortunate to be a part of this community and feel very supported.
Robert, thank you for the call. Getting back to our main topic here just a little bit, investigating these crimes, I imagine, has got to be very difficult because it, you know, finding the distributors probably like trying to find a needle in a haystack in many cases.
Yes, so the clearance rate on these has been fairly small. You spoke about the several arrests we had a couple of years ago. Those initially stemmed from an investigation regarding overdose. And so they are lengthy investigations, but they do have some benefits to them as far as taking multiple people off the streets, because ultimately when we identify one distributor, it kind of spiderwebs out to other ones that are involved. So
now, I would never ask you to give details on an investigation because I know you can't, but do we have active investigations going on right now?
We have several very, very active investigations into some overdose deaths and some that are just overdoses where the individual survived but was taken to the hospital.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what really strikes me in this conversation is, in many respects, this is treated like a public health concern, because mm-hmm. it's just like any kind of a disease or something else that would come in and start making people sick. It's really how you have to look at it. Is the purpose of the investigation, of course, is to hold people accountable, but it's also to try to isolate and figure out where it's coming from to try to put a stop to it. So as the detective indicated, we don't have more and more and more victims.
And most of us, maybe, I feel like in the community, we turn a blind eye to this a little bit. We know that it exists in our community, but we don't want to acknowledge that it's existing. But maybe if people had a better sense of where it's happening at, and maybe that'd give us a better picture.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment, and something I've noticed over the years is, you know, are there drugs in Manhattan? Yes, there are. You're just not necessarily going to see it unless you really know what to look for or you want to look for it. We typically don't have open-air drug markets in Manhattan. Manhattan tends not to tolerate that kind of behavior. You're not necessarily going to see a lot of in-your-face results of drugs activity, negative drug activity in Manhattan. It's there, though, but a lot of times it's behind closed doors. And, you know, I don't want to steal the detective's thunder, but typically over the course of my career, what I see is it's there, but you just don't see it as much. And so you're right. You tend not to think about it as often as you would if you were in another community where it was a little bit more in your face. And I think by keeping it behind closed doors, in some ways it's good, because I think it keeps a lid on it a little bit. And again, Manhattan doesn't tolerate a lot of open air drug activity, but at the same time, it can also make it more difficult to figure out what's going on and start interceding when necessary.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll get in, talk a little bit more about this and some other things. Here we got one more segment to go with RCPD. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.